Welcome to an episode of Find Your Voice, a movement led by yours truly, Aaron Dew, a guy who has overcome crippling anxiety, adversity, and difficulty like so many of you in life, whose main goal now is to help you combat your excuses, take control of your life, write your own story, and most importantly, find your voice. So now, without further ado, I welcome the host of the show himself, Mr. Aaron Dew.
What's going on, people? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Find Your Voice. My name is Aaron, and as always, I am the host of the show. So I'm delighted to be able to bring to you today Zachary Babcock, who is the proud owner of the Underdog Empowerment Movement. Now, what's that you're probably thinking? Well, if you've been living under a rock, that is one of the biggest podcasts going. In fact, this guy has gone from literally living with convicted felons in prison to rubbing elbows with multimillionaires and interviewing them on his podcast. So he's had people like Andy Priscilla, The Real Bradley. I'm talking big, big people. And hopefully one day he'll also have me too. But for now, I've got him on the show and we take a deep dive into his life and the adversity and everything that he's been through. And we also put him on the spot as well with some questions that he's never actually been asked before. So that is a thumbs up to myself and obviously the questions. But more importantly, let's jump into this episode because you're going to get a lot of tangible takeaways, a lot of knowledge. It's going to inspire you. It's also going to teach you that irrespective of your circumstances or where you come from, you can achieve anything you want. So I want to just start then by, if you wouldn't mind, for my listeners, if you can just kind of give us a summary about yourself, a little bit about your story and what basically brings you here today.
Man, that's a great question. You know, we all have a long story. I mean, we all got our own, you know what I mean? You know, find your voice, man. So I'll keep it condensed, man. And if we want to unpack any more, totally, that's chill, dude. But I grew up without a father figure. Mm-hmm. He died when I was 7, and I did a lot of things to fit in with the quote-unquote cool crowd, because I wanted to fit in. But here's the deal, man. A lot of people will say, like, oh, I don't care what other people think. Well, can you cuss on your show?
Mate, you can do whatever you want.
Cool, man. Ryan, I appreciate that. That's bullshit if you say that you don't care what other people think, because we're social creatures, man. We all care to an extent, man. One of our biggest fears is being outcasted by the tribe, from our tribe. But I took this a little bit overboard, man. I would try to fit in a little bit more than what others did, because I just wanted to be accepted. Well, long story short, man, this led to a bunch of just stupid mistakes, having no purpose, nothing, no chief aim growing up. And by the time I was 19, I had got caught some cases and I went away to prison for over 4 years of my life on a 7-year sentence. Learned a lot of stuff happened in there, a lot of life-changing, transformational things that happened in there that we could dive in deeper later. Mm-hmm. But I got out by the time I was 23, got out, kind of had my stuff together, but not all the way. I got this one job after having another job on a sales team, and I did really well and got promoted right away, and then I got fired, and I used that as an excuse to kind of like throw my life away. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going back to prison 20 days before my twin sons were born. And bro, that was it, man. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I made a decision right there in that jail cell, knowing that I was getting ready to miss the birth of my twin sons, that I was going to change my life. And ever since then, I've been moving in a different direction.
Wow. Firstly, brother, I acknowledge you sharing that. And thank you for sharing everything that you said there, especially some vulnerabilities. So the first one that you mentioned was, obviously, we are social creatures. And as much as we pretend in society not to want to fit in, you're absolutely right. We all want to be liked. We all want to be heard. But what I want to touch on is more your personal story. And we'll go on to that moment where you said, obviously, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, when your twins that you never got to see their birth. Prison. Talk to me about prison, because obviously that's not something that many of my listeners will be familiar with. I've been fortunate to have worked in a prison for 6 months, and as somebody working there, I'm going to be completely honest, it scared me half to death. Now, especially the whole element where your freedom's taken away from you. So if you wouldn't mind, if we could just kind of touch a little bit maybe on your time in prison, especially like when you first got there. I mean, what were the things running through your mind? And then obviously you end up going back there again.
Yeah, man. First time, When I first went in, I was scared to death, dude. Mm. You know, you hear all the horrible things about it, and I was 19 years old. You know, on the outside, I tried to act like a total badass, but on the inside, I was You know, I was scared, man. You know, I got there and quickly adapted and quickly learned how the social dynamics worked, man. Mind your own business, stand on your own shit. Even if you can't fight, don't let nobody punk you. That was pretty much it, man. And but when I was there though, dude, so like about 2 years into it, bro, I was 21 years old and I was in the hole, which the hole, it's the prison inside of the prison, which you already know, but for anybody listening, it's like you're in this tiny little cell, man. You can walk 3 steps one way, 3 steps the next. It's cold, dark, dirty, gloomy, depressing. You got very little to no human interaction. And I'm down there for some tattoo violations I've gotten for being a knucklehead. Obviously, I was still in my rebellious stage. And man, they called me back to the captain's office, and I'm thinking immediately like, man, somebody told on me for something that I didn't get in trouble for yet, or they're trying to get me to tell them somebody else. I ain't saying nothing. And they brought me back there. He's sitting behind his desk with his white shirt on, his gold badge, black hat, me mug on his face. He's like, have a seat. And I'm like, man, for what? And he's like, you know, how long you been locked up, Mr. Babcock? I'm like, man, for 2 years, man. Y'all only got me in for nothing. Put me back in my cell. It's like, man, you know, when you come back here, you know, it's nothing good, right? I was like, dude, I don't give a fuck. Just put me back in my cell. You got me for 2 months. Dude, I don't have nothing to say. And then he's like, dude, we got a call over the weekend, and your mom informed us that she had to break into a bathroom and found her sister dead on the floor with a needle in her arm. And yeah, dude, that was, bro, that was legit last thing I was expecting in that moment. Like, I literally, like, blacked out and then came back to, and, like, this adrenaline burst through me and tears started flooding down my face, and they gave me a 30-second phone call to my mom, and we're on the phone bawling our eyes out, telling each other we love each other, and the phone hangs up, and then they put me back in my cell, and I had to be put in the cell by myself. But here's the part that I feel will really help, you know, can really empower somebody. It sure in the hell empowered me, but I went back into my cell, man, and I'm in there by myself, no humans, no nothing, and for 3 days, I didn't get out of my bed. All I could think about was all the mean things I ever said and did to my sister and the goodbye that I never get to tell her, and I'm sitting there crying, thinking about all this shit and literally going crazy, and there was nobody. Didn't get out of my bed to eat, just got up to use the restroom, that's it. But on that third day, though, bro, I woke up, and I was like, dude, I don't know why I'm still here, but I got to be here for a reason. What can I do right now to find happiness and peace? And it was crazy, man, because it got me to focus on the power that I did have in that situation. Even though I was trapped in the 8x10 cell and I didn't have much freedom, I focused on the freedoms that I did have by asking the right question. And I developed this crazy OCD routine where I was cleaning my cell, working out each day. Like, it was insane, but it got me to find peace and happiness in a really dark time. And that was one of the pivotal moments. And it's crazy because that was in 2010, bro. I didn't even read self-help books then. But later on, you know, I read in a book, Awaken the Giant Within. Tony Robbins says, man, the quality of questions you ask yourself determine the quality of your life. And
absolutely.
Yeah. If you ask a question, you got to focus on it. Like right now, if I ask you what color your shoes, you're thinking about the color of your shoes because your brain has to answer a question. This is how it works. So the key there is, you know, when we all get in those situations – you know, we've all been there. I've done this too, where it feels like the world's crumbling around you and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. A lot of times we'll ask ourselves the wrong questions. We'll ask ourselves, oh, well, why is this shit always got to happen to me? Or why does this? And that's the wrong question, because if you think about it, why does this always have to happen to me? Now you're looking for the reason why this always happens. Instead of what can I do right now to bring me one step closer to my goal, or in my case, in my situation, what I said was, what can I do right now to find happiness and peace? So it's about those questions that we ask ourselves.
That's beautiful, man. I really appreciate you saying that. Firstly, I just send my sincere condolences, obviously, towards your sister. But at the same time, it was kind of like, with the curse, you got the gift of you really finding happiness and peace. And you touched on it there, like, you didn't need to read a self-help book in order to find this, and your perception changed. And it's something that I encourage all my listeners, because a lot of the stories on this show are about adversity and people who have gone through tough times like yourself where there's stuff where sometimes you can't control it. And again, it all comes down to that question. And we normally have this perception, and you know, Ed Milet says this about the world, it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. And I took that on and I kind of just switched it. And what I try and do now is when adversity kicks me in the ass on a daily basis or something bad happens that I'm not expecting, I always say, what's the lesson the world's trying to teach me now? What can I learn from this? What's my growing opportunity in this moment? And that, for me, again, gets my brain working in the right way. Whereas, I'll be completely honest, back in the day, I had a victim mentality where, like you said, like you probably had when you, before you went into prison, where you're thinking, oh, this bad stuff's happening to me. So it's beautiful that you got to that place. It's just a shame, obviously, you had to go through that level of adversity and have that 30-second call with your mom where you heard that tragic news. But I think that's a brilliant lesson for our listeners to take home and not wait for something bad to happen basically in their life for them to kind of get that lesson and basically start asking the right questions now. So thank you for sharing that, brother. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt, man, for sure.
And I just want to ask another question, if I may. So in prison, having come out of it now for a second time, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned?
Man, it's definitely this. And it's another situation where I kind of figured this stuff out on my own before I even knew what self-help books were. And then I read the book and it was like, ah, that makes perfect sense. It ties it all together. But man, no matter what, man, you know, there's going to be shit that happens in life where you know, kind of what you're going about, like with Ed Milet, life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. But there's going to be those adverse situations in life that you literally have no control over. Like you always have the control, but there's going to be circumstances that you can't prevent from happening. Like legit things that you can't stop. Like a tornado right now could come through and tear down your house and you could lose your family. God forbid that happens, but like that could happen. Right. And you have no control over that. And then, you know, you can decide to be bitter about it and kill yourself or go out and do harmful things to other people because, you know, you lost your family and your house. And or you could decide to do absolutely nothing about it and just stay where you're at and just not move at all. Or you could decide to go out and internalize that pain and go out and do good with it. Regardless of what you choose to do, though, it's your freedom to make that choice of what to do moving forward. So at the end of the day, even those situations that you have no control over, you always have complete 100% control over how you respond to those situations. So you always have that freedom. You could be stripped down to the very last freedom of all human freedoms, and that's one thing that nobody can take away from you. So you all always empower. And Viktor Frankl really tied that together for me in the book, A Man's Search for Meaning. It's a crazy good book, most transformational book I've ever read. But he was in the Nazi death camps, getting brutally tortured. All of his friends in there dying daily, just like made my prison stay look like a little daycare, for real, honestly. But he talks about, man, that outside stimulus, you know, for every stimulus, that outside stimulus, there's a response to that stimulus, but in between that stimulus and that, in your response, is your freedom to choose that response that you always 100% have control over.
That's powerful. That's brilliant. I'll definitely add Viktor Frankl's book.
Yeah, dude, it's hands down the most transformational book I've ever read. Mm-hmm. It's a really short read too. It's like 100 and something pages. The first half of the book, he details in detail, like it's pretty brutal too, man. His like experience in prison. Then he's also a psychologist and stuff. And he, the second half is like going into the psychology of what happened through it. It's pretty crazy.
Fantastic. Brilliant. So hopefully the listeners and myself obviously will get on that. But you just said a brilliant point there. And I think this is, again, one of the premises behind this show is, like you said, we can't always choose the cards that we're dealt with. So sometimes some of us might have it easier than others. And sometimes you can get something as external as a hurricane or just a freak, you know, worldwide event where it can really disrupt your life. But you hit the nail on the head where you said we actually have 100% control, freedom and choice on how we respond. And that's a decision that we need to take control over. So I think that's really, really powerful. And it's something actually that you've done. So I was following you after, obviously, I saw you on Facebook and I've been listening to a couple of your videos. And I want to ask you more about that now. I want to ask you, so you've obviously gone through prison now. You've had a lot of adversity. A lot of things have changed in your life, which has changed your perception and it's changed the way that you see the world. And now you're almost in a position of influence, I suppose, because everything you're saying now, you're not just reading a textbook and then regurgitating it like a lot of people on social media, which really winds me up. You've actually lived it. So what do you do now on a daily basis? What's kind of your thing? What, are you podcasting 24/7 or are you doing any other projects as well?
Yeah, man, right on, dude. I appreciate that. Underdog Empowerment, that's the podcast, dude. When I launched Underdog Empowerment, dude, before it was last year, man, before I launched the podcast, nobody, like anytime I tried to collaborate with anybody, nobody took me seriously, man. I was just the underdog, or I was the ex-convict turned entrepreneur afterthought that literally nobody gave any time of day to. Then I launched Underdog Empowerment out of that frustration because I was pissed, man. Out of that frustration, I launched Underdog Empowerment for selfish reasons first, to first fill up my cup, then also to help other underdog entrepreneurs level up. Selfish reasons first and empower other underdog entrepreneurs. And then the third day became a top 200 rated podcast. And then the very next week we had Billy Gina's Marketing on the show. And then it's just been crazy. Had crazy people on ever since. And my career's just exploded since. But it's funny though, because the week before the podcast, nobody wanted anything to do with me. And then the week after, it's, you know, we're interviewing celebrities and shit like that. But, it's been a ride, man. So anybody says entrepreneurship or you can happen overnight, run the other way, man. It doesn't work that way. You got to become a master of what you do and bring valuable skills to the marketplace. So you always got to work on your skills and character. Anybody says they can make you whatever by implementing some bullshit magical formula, that's a lie. But, yeah, man. What I do now, though, is, you know, we do the podcasting. Obviously, I'm super passionate about that. And I help other entrepreneurs, you know, start their podcast, become a top 200 rated podcaster, interview celebrities, make money from their podcast, all that fully guaranteed in the program. And then we also produce it with our agency. We have a full scale agency. But it's crazy, though, man, because 4 years ago I was in prison and now we're here, you know.
Wow. And that should give people hope. But I just want to also add to that. So you started this thing. I think you're doing 50 podcasts in a certain amount of time. And I want to thank you, obviously, for giving me the opportunity to get someone like yourself on there, because I've started this podcast thing. And initially it was quite scary for me. And it was like, who wants to listen to me? Have I really got a message out there? And it's been growing quite well organically. I mean, nothing probably to the extent of yourself, but 30,000 listens in 6 months has been one of the best achievements that I've ever done, because it's me coming over my fear and anxiety. So when somebody like yourself, who's in a position where you know what it's like for people like myself who are trying to build this genuine influence and this movement to try and help and inspire people, and you've just kind of given me a hand up. So I just want to extend my hand and say thank you firstly for that. And then I want to also touch on something else, is that when you said you did it for yourself first, I think that's a really, really important point, because we're in a society where especially genuinely good people are always trying to fill other people's cups up first, as opposed to filling ourselves first. So I love that you did it for a selfish reason. And I can relate to that and resonate with it quite well, because I did find your voice initially as a selfish reason. I was like, I don't want to be that shy kid. I don't want to be that kid who's always considered quiet or reserved, like the introvert. And I was like, I'm going to come out my shell and I've got a story to tell. I've got a message and I want to share other people's stories as well. So really empowering, brother. I truly appreciate you sharing that, and fantastic work. I'm sure this is just the start, obviously, for your podcast. You've had great guests on there. I saw Andy Fasilla on one of them as well. He's somebody who I follow as well. He's a bit like Marmite, so I've I've introduced him to other people and some people are like, nah, I can't get on with it, but I just think he's fantastic. I think he literally, it's all about execution with him. So looking forward to what you're doing. I want to ask then, so you're obviously now in a completely different space. Like you said, 4 years ago, I mean, you were like in prison, your life was literally upside down. What's your daily routine like? Because I'm a firm believer that we are results of the disciplines and the habits that we do on a daily basis. So what do you do from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep?
Man, routine is everything. But real quick, man, 30,000 listens in 6 months, you said?
Yeah, that's
congrats, dude. That's dope. That's really good, dude.
Thank you.
And you did it because, you know, even though you were kind of like, I don't know if people will take me seriously, whatever, you still did it, though. And guess what? Now people took you seriously and got 30,000 listens in 6 months. That's really awesome, man.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet, man. Routine, bro. Yeah, that's everything, man. We're creatures of habits, man. We are human beings, so everything we do is over, like, I don't know the exact numbers, man, but it's like up there in the 90s or 80 something is everything we do is out of habit. Dude, I got to a point, dude, where, yeah, I came home from prison, I was a beast physically, dude. Six pack, ripped, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was fit, I was feeling great, and then got an entrepreneurship, and then I got my priorities messed up, man, and I started putting business before everything else, even family. It was like, it was business, family, then health. And that's really completely flipped upside down. It's wrong, because here's the deal, man. I would sacrifice working out and eating healthy and spending time with my family so that I could work more on my business. And what I was telling myself is, oh, I got to make this happen so we can have our time freedom and have the money and provide, and we can go and travel and all this shit. And like, that's bullshit, man, because here's the deal, man, nothing is more important than your health. Nothing. Because like we go back to the filling up your cup before you can fill up any other cup. If you don't have your health, you can't make the contribution you want to make in life. If you don't have your health, you can't be there for your family in life. If you don't have the health, you can't build that business, man. I read a book, man. It was really eye-opening for me, man. It was called The One Thing. It was so simple, man, but it was like so on point. But one of the parts in there, he gives this example. He's like, imagine you're juggling some balls, right? And each ball represents a different area of your life. Mm-hmm. All right, and you got your business for one ball that you're juggling. You got your family for another, your relationships or whatnot, and then you got your health on another, and all these different areas of your life, and you're just juggling these balls. And he said, now imagine all these balls. The business ball is rubber, which means if you drop it, it could bounce back up. But all the other balls that you're juggling, they're glass balls, and if you drop them, they can become scuffed, or even worse, they can shatter completely, like your health. So if you're not taking care of your health, man, I mean, what is everything else, you know? So that kind of really opened it up for me, man. I turned that around and made that priority number one again, and then my relationships. It's priority, then my mindset, mental toughness, and spirituality is number two, and then third is my relationships and family, and then number four is my business. But yeah, man, kind of long-winded answer, but yeah, habits are everything. And every day I got a morning routine where I wake up, do my little cold shower meditation, then I read, then I do some writing, then I work out, and then I do my number one task for the day. Every single day, get that me time first, man.
I love that. And it's weird that you said that. So the last few weeks especially, so my adversity, a lot of it comes from like literally people just in my family dying, like from nowhere. I've got cancer, heart attacks, diseases. And it's almost like I'm looking around, I'm like, why aren't people taking their health seriously until it's too late? And it's something that I always say, like, there is no wealth without health. And, you know, we all use those cliche quotes, but there was a quote actually I listened to on a podcast the other week, and it really resonated with me. And it says, health is the crown on a well person's head that only the ill person can see. And like, when I heard that, it just struck a chord with me, because we spend our whole lives, and I've been there. I gave up a very good job to try and hustle and grind because I was doing this for my family. But at the same time, I could see my health was deteriorating. So I think that's a brilliant message to anyone listening, that yes, we can still work hard. We can still achieve our goals over a certain amount of time if we obviously execute. But at the same time, it's going to be worth nothing if we don't take our health with us. So I appreciate that.
Thanks, man.
And just moving on then, I just want to also ask then, so obviously, your story is riddled with adversity, and it's almost like the perfect story to get on my show, because I want people on my show who have been through adversity, but at the same time, they're either going through it in terms of a positive manner and coming through it, or they've got to the other side. And I believe you're truly on the better side of it, and long may that continue. And I hope now you have good fortune all the way through your life. But what I want to do is take you back to maybe a moment, it can be any moment that you choose, of probably one of your biggest times where you really thought, this is it, this is rock bottom, I'm really struggling here. But knowing exactly everything that you know now, what would you tell yourself in that moment?
That's a good one, man. Never been asked that before. That's a really good question. You know, so, man, so, you know, we talked about the moment where, you know, where I found out my sister was dead and that I wasn't going to be there for her funeral. And I was in a trapped in a cell. That was pretty crazy and intense. But then waking up and not being there and knowing that I wasn't going to, learning that I wasn't going to be there for my son's birth, like that was another one. And then you got some times where, you know, where even out here after getting out, where we didn't have, you know, it was like, shit, how are we going to pay the bills and make this happen? So it's hard to pick like one, but I'm going to go with the example with my sister, because when I woke up, even though I realized I was going to miss out on my twin sons, like I made a decision right there. I was like, I don't care what happens, man. I'm getting back home and I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. But with my sister, I was still really young and didn't have my shit together or nothing. So I guess I would tell myself, man, in that moment, man, I would tell myself, man, in that moment that, kind of like we were talking about before, man, that no matter, sometimes you can't control what happens and shit's going to happen that isn't always pretty, and it is, and it's going to hurt, and there's going to be stuff that's going to hurt a lot in life. You know, life, there's a lot of inevitable suffering in life. But no matter what happens and through the suffering, you know, you always had the power to choose how you respond to it. And the real power comes from finding the meaning in the suffering. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the meaning of this suffering? And that's what I did in that moment. I found the meaning of, like, man, you know, I realized that, hey, my sister died from a heroin overdose. I'm part of the reason why I'm in here in prison, because I was doing heroin too. If I keep doing this same shit, like, I'm going to end up like my sister, or I'm going to stay in and out of here my whole life. And that's not what I want. So finding that meaning in that suffering and knowing that you always had the power how to respond.
That's beautiful. I want to ask you now then, so having suffered everything that you've been through and knowing that you're strong enough to obviously come out on the other side, like you've picked yourself up, you were the underdog, and now it's almost like a Rocky kind of story where you built yourself back up. What's your biggest fear right now?
Man, my biggest fear is, like, as I'm sitting here with this, doing this interview with you, if I lift my eyes above, and that's what I did as soon as you asked that, if I lift my eyes above the computer screen, I'm actually going to make a post about it on Facebook right after this interview, since we're talking about it. But if I lift my eyes above the computer screen, I see my vision board, which has visual representations of everything that I want in my life. And it's not just money, and it's not just whatever. Like, I got a picture. It's funny. I got a picture of my head photoshopped on this ripped dude's body and stuff. Like, I love it. It's a funny looking. Yeah. Like, I got a visual represent, like in detail, everything I want. I got, like, how much hours a day that I want to be able to just do whatever I want as far as rest, meditate, exercise, and spend time with family and learn. Like, it represents every single area of my life. I know exactly what I want in life. And I guess my biggest fear is not getting everything on that vision board, but looking back in my life and having regret, saying, man, did I give this my all? Did I leave anything out on the table? Was there anything that I didn't do? That would be my biggest fear.
Yeah. I think, especially as we start to grow and we start to become more self-aware and on this self-development journey, that's definitely one of my things as well. So how I told you earlier, even with this podcast, how much it's grown in such a short amount of time. I succeeded my goals by like tenfold. I was hoping to get something like 1,000 listens for the year. And now it's kind of like, there's so much untapped potential in me. And I want others to see their potential in themselves as well, irrespective of the cards they were dealt. Because like you said earlier, it's finding the meaning behind the pain that we go through. And I always try and say to people, like, any adversity or anything you've been through, use that as fuel to kind of move you forward. So that definitely resonates with me. Zach, what we're actually going to do now, and you've obviously not heard this show before, but I go into a fun part of the show where I'm going to ask you for the next 60 to 90 seconds the most random question. So it's just kind of split it up a bit and change the tempo. So whenever you're ready, mate, I'm just going to fire some questions your way.
Some rapid fire. Let's do it, dude.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you could abolish one thing in the world, what would it be?
Victim mentalities.
Your favorite hobby?
Football.
What are you secretly good at that nobody knows?
Ooh, a lot of things. No, I'm just playing. what am I good at secretly that nobody knows? And I don't know if people know it or not, but I would say reading people. Like, I'm really good at, like, just going in any situation, kind of picking up on, like, even the subtlest little body movements and all that stuff.
Brilliant. Your biggest role model?
My personal trainer, man, Bart Piatchak.
What would you like to be remembered for?
For being someone that was about his word, that didn't just talk, but like actually fulfilled on it. And I wanna create through this program that I'm building currently, 9% recidivism rate nationwide with Conscious Freedom Initiative.
I love that. Your biggest goal this year?
Well, it's 21K a month net income from the agency and 10K a month from the affiliate, because this is the year I really got to get my business like really cranking, because I want to move into more of my impact goals of, you know, your legacy stuff. I want to start moving into that.
I love that, and best of luck with it. If you could relive one day again, what day would it be?
Man, I don't know if I would. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a hard question for me. It might not be for other people. Man, if I could relive any day, it'd probably be the day that I missed out on my twins' birth again, sitting in that cell, trying to imagine what they looked like, imagine if they looked like their dad or not, just because that was so painful that day, and just to feel that pain again, just to keep me humble and grounded.
The ability to fly or be invisible?
Fly.
The number one thing that annoys you?
Ooh, victim mentalities.
Money or fame?
Money.
Your proudest moment?
Proudest moment, it's a toss up between getting out of prison and turning my life around and showing my mom that I turned my life around after all the shit I put her through before she died, or also being there for my daughter's birth, which was 9 months ago, and being there in the hospital that time.
I love that. Your favorite food?
Favorite food is pizza, man. I can't eat a lot of it, but it's good.
Would you rather speak all languages or speak to animals?
Damn, dude. Dude, that's a hard decision right there. But in the sense of being decisive, I would rather speak all languages. But that would be pretty cool to speak to animals.
Absolutely. What song best describes your life?
What song best describes my life? There's this new one that I'm just, because like I'm a really big music guy, but there's this newer song by Zaid Wolf called Cold Blooded, and in there he's like, the very first verse is just like, so he even says underdog in the verse. I love it though.
I love that. If you had an extra hour a day, how would you spend it?
Extra hour a day, I would spend it doing what I love the most, and that changes, you know, from time to time. It could be reading, it could be working out, or spending time with the family. But doing one of those things that I just really love doing.
Netflix or YouTube?
YouTube.
Your number one piece of advice to your children?
Number one piece of advice to my children, like just one piece of advice would be, it's kind of a long-winded answer, but I'll dwindle it down really quick. Don't act further along than what you really are, because there's a lot that goes into that I could dive deeper into. Don't self-proclaim yourself as like a master or an expert like everybody does on social media. Actually do the work. You're going to have to build real skills, develop skills that are going to take a lot of time to develop. It's going to take years to become a master. And then finally, to streamline the process, find somebody that already has what you want and become their student, whether you got to give them money, whether you got to barter services, whether you got to work for them, whether you got to connect them to somebody in your network, whatever you got to do to become their student, just become their student. And that'd be it.
That's genius advice. And finally, would you rather know how you would die or when you would die?
Neither, but... I'd rather know neither, but if I had to pick between the two, it would be how. I don't want to know when.
Okay, brilliant. So that's the end of the quickfire round. I appreciate those answers. Hopefully it'll give the listeners as well a little bit more insight into you. And I just want to ask then, before we move on to the final question of the show, Zach, if it's all right with you, what is one question that you wish I had asked you?
Dude, you are really awesome. These are good questions.
I appreciate that.
One question that you wish you would ask me. Man, you kind of really hit some good ones. I would have said, you know, if you could go back to your entrepreneurial journey in the beginning, what was one piece of advice that you'd tell yourself? But you asked that in a different way, so I don't really know, man. You asked some really good questions.
I appreciate that. So that does sadly leave us to the last question, and this has been an absolute pleasure, so I truly do appreciate your time. But the last question that I always ask all of my guests is, if in 150 years' time, science fails to save us and we're no longer here, and all that exists is a book, and this book is about you, the underdog, Zach. And in this book, it has everything about your life, all the weird and wonderful things that you've done and accumulated and achieved in your life. Firstly, what would the title of the book be? And secondly, what would the summary at the back tell us about you?
Man, these are good. These are really thought-provoking. The title of the book would be, that's kind of put me on the spot there.
It's fine.
Title of the book would be something along the lines of, this would be more so not just about me. This would be for anybody that feels this way. And I know a lot of people do, but, it's like, they say you can't, but you did would probably be the title. Or they say you can't, but you do, or something like that. And then the summary would be, you know, it doesn't matter that, you know, if you have a grandiose vision, but everybody counting you out, all the odds stacked against you, people even laughing at your dream, it doesn't matter if you're committed to leveling up to win and to get the respect that you deserve. And if you want it bad enough, it doesn't matter what you face. There's no excuse. There's no victim mentality. There's no privilege or nothing like, dude, like none of it doesn't matter where you come from at life. Mm. You could be a former crackhead and prisoner that did over 5 years plus or 10 years plus in your life, and you could still make your own life how you want it. You could design your life at any given moment, the moment you decide to take complete ownership of it.
I love that. And that actually brings us to the end of the show. I just want to once again thank you for sharing your story and your vulnerability. It's been an absolutely incredible episode, one that I'm very grateful for. But just before we leave, Zach, what's the best place our audience can connect with you?
Yeah, man, I appreciate that, dude. Underdog Empowerment, the podcast, man. I'm really passionate about that. You know, you could subscribe to it on any podcast platform that you listen to podcasts to. And to make it really easy for you guys, you can go to underdogempowerment.com. Right there on the front page, you might have to scroll down a little bit, but there's buttons to each platform, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever. And yeah, if you dig the show, hope to see you guys over there. And dude, I appreciate you having me on so much, man. It's been a blast.
You're very welcome. And what I'm going to do is make sure all of those links are in the show notes. So it's going to be nice and easy for all the listeners to literally click. This guy is an expert in his field. He's obviously surpassed normal podcasters like myself, but it's very inspiring to see somebody like him who's doing it the right way for myself and for other people to know that we can do it too. So I want to thank everyone at home. Thanks for listening, Zach. Thanks again, brother, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, man, thanks for having me, man. It's been awesome.
And remember, this podcast is absolutely free. So all we ask in return is for you to share this with a friend and drop us a 5-star review over on iTunes. Have an awesome day.